Sometimes I got to take time out and think about it and study about it a while, and it just helps me to have a little more time to dwell on it for a while. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 through 22. Romans chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Boy, that verse says a lot to us there. And I want to read in Ephesians chapter 4. If you want to turn there, you can read with me there. I'm going to read a few verses there, a couple. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18 and 19. Bible says there, having the understanding darkened. Now, you remember what we just read there in Romans chapter 1? Their foolish heart was darkened. Then here it says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. My. I think preachers talk ugly sometimes. The Bible gets right down to the brass tacks, don't it? So to speak. I mean, he makes it real plain. There's some places in the Bible that I'm reluctant to even read from the pulpit out loud, because God gets so plain with it. All right, we're going to talk about slipping into darkness. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Please help us now to just say what we got to say, and Lord, get through with it. I pray you'd help us and bless your Word and have free course, and everybody listen. Help us each one. Help me to get it also in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the blindness of the heart alienates us from God. That's what we read there. Alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. The heart, as we've talked about so much, it makes us, that being alienated makes us a stranger, makes God a stranger to us. We don't know him. He's somebody who's mysterious to us. We don't really know. We just guess and imagine, and when our heart's blind and when we're ignorant about God. And you get into that state we just read there in Romans. But let me stick with it here. Well, so often I say to you, the heart is the seat of our emotions. It's where our thoughts and feelings originate. Our heart is really, it's what you are. It's you. It's your soul. Yeah. You know, your heart. And through the blindness of your heart, you're alienated from God. Blindness of the heart is when you can hear the great things of God and not feel a thing. Your heart's what you feel with. It's the seat of your feelings. You can hear about God and don't touch nothing in you. Don't move you. Don't make you feel anything. It'll shock you. If we can sing songs like we just sang, and you can just go right through them, say all the words, never feel a thing. Do you do that? Yeah. If you'd be honest, you'd have to raise your hand and say, yeah, I'm afraid I do. It's a habit. It's emotions we go through. And we get to where we're doing this just like a robot. Instead of worshiping God, you got to think about what you're doing. You got to sing with your heart. Sing, you know, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Worshiping God, your heart's involved. Not just your body, not just your mind, your heart's involved. But when you're alienated from God through the blindness of your heart, you don't feel a thing. You can just do it all, no feeling at all. Never shed a tear, never shout for joy, never have goosebumps. The thoughts of God don't move you a bit. You've got blindness of the heart, if that's where you're at consistently. You know, we all have times when we're just not as close to God as we ought to be. Our heart is cold. And it's because we're too involved in the things of life. We've been distracted. But it's just like it is with outright sin. A Christian can't stay that way. You can't stay in that state if you're really saved. You just can't say. I mean, do you ever Does it ever make you concerned when God don't speak to you? And when you just can't seem to get nothing, you can read your Bible and it just don't do nothing. I mean, that's alarming to me. I don't just think, just throw it down and go on and do something else. No. You know, got to fix this. Your heart is not moved or touched by anything that God or His people say or do. That's blindness of the heart. And as you sit in church and ignore the presence and working of God, you become ignorant. He said through the ignorance that's in them. If you go to school and you sit there and twiddle your thumbs and dream and do it, you don't learn nothing, do you? What happens at the end of the day, at the end of the school year? Well, it could easily be said and truthfully be said that you are ignorant. You didn't learn what you were there to learn. You didn't learn what the teacher tried to teach you. The taxpayers paid for you to try to learn. The books that somebody bought all were wasted on you because you went to school and you sat there and you're still ignorant. Ignorant is not stupid. Ignorant is not dumb or handicapped or anything. Ignorant is when you just refuse to learn. And so you end up not knowing. While the Word of God is preached and the Holy Ghost is working, you see, you use your mental faculties for vain, frivolous, and foolish thoughts. You ever sit in church and catch yourself? You're off of doing something else. I mean, in your mind, your eyes are all glazed over and you don't see it because you're looking from the other side of them. But everybody else can see it when you're sitting there, you know. People sit in church, and when you do it, kids that grow up in church, in Christian homes, after you do it for a few years, you get it down. You can sit there and just look. I mean, you can never take your eyes off the preacher, and you can just shake your head all the time and make everybody make you think you're making him believe that you're listening. But if he's paying attention, he knows you're not listening. You ever do that? Dangerous stuff because it can get you into this state of blindness of heart. It certainly leaves you ignorant. Did you ever sit in church and you're off in la la land and all of a sudden something happens and you know you missed it. You missed it. Everybody shouts and hollers or says amen and you say, whoa, what did he say? What did he say? Well, you should have been paying attention. You missed something. All right, if you do that, you can become alienated from God because of your ignorance of Him. You have to learn of God to not be ignorant of Him. And while you're doing this, you're professing yourself to be wise, wiser than the preacher and everybody else in this church or any other. You know, I know some of her kin folks, that's what he said. He said he didn't need to go to church because he knew more than any of them preachers. He said that, and he didn't go. But he really didn't know more than the rest of the preachers either. He just thought he did. That's the state people get into. Do you ever notice that the more ignorant a person is the more they think they're, more the smarter they think they are? Have you ever noticed that? The most ignorant people are the ones who want to tell you the most. They got the most to say. That's generally the way it is. And so, God says people like this, God says they're fools. Foolish heart is darkened. All right, the blindness of the heart is not the work of God. It's a result of indulgence in sin. Your heart gets blind when you indulge yourself in sin. It's not something God does to you. Don't think that God just smites your heart and you're blind. He smites you with blindness because you make Him mad and that's what He does to you. And so it's that same old stuff. If it's not my fault, I mean, it just happened to me. God did it. God took it away from me. God didn't give it to me. Whatever. No. Blindness of heart is your fault. It's our own fault. It's not something God does to it. It's just what happens when you refuse to listen. And you refuse to avail yourself of what God has for you and provides for you. As you indulge into sin, the lights go out in your soul. It's dark. It's like when the sun goes down. It goes down slow, don't it? We're not out there in the sunshine, just blink, the lights go out. Like when you turn a switch off in a room. That ain't how it happens, is it? You got plenty of warning. The sun is going down. Slowly, slowly. So slow you can't really mark it unless you look at it and then look back a few minutes later, you can tell the difference, especially in the wintertime. But it goes down slow, so you got plenty of warning. It's getting dark. I mean, it's dusk. It's evening. It's dusk. It's about to get dark. Better do what I got to do. You got to shut the chickens up. Go do it. I mean, do it quick here. It's getting dark. You ain't got much time. It's the same way with this. You know, you got plenty of warning before your foolish heart is darkened. You know, God makes sure that you're warned and warned and warned. And then besides that, you can sense it in yourself. You can sense the darkness as it slips in upon you, on your soul. The presence of God, the sweetness of God's dealing and working in your life, and His comfort that He gives, and the guidance that He gives, and the light that He sheds on His Word as you read it. You can tell when the darkness is slipping in on you. And that's why I say a while ago, it's alarming whenever, if you really are saved, it's alarming to you when you don't have the light that you should have, that you have had, that you know you ought to have. You don't have it. It stirs your soul, and you think, "Oh no, no." So there's plenty of warning, and it doesn't happen quickly. And the first time that you sin is always the hardest. It's that way for everybody. Everybody, the first breach is the one that's the hardest to do. But after you cross that line, the next one's easier, and the next one's easier. Until it just means nothing to you. And you're in darkness. Your foolish heart is darkened. It's not that the sinner has no ability to feel, but that his understanding is darkened by his sin. It's not that he can't feel, it's that his understanding is darkened. His foolish heart is darkened. The blindness of his heart is what makes him not feel when he ought to feel. Abortionists, you know, they got to convince themselves that they're doing a service that's good and helpful in order to be able to overcome the conscience, their own conscience about what they're doing. Right. All sin is justified that way in our own heart. We convince ourselves that it's good what we're doing. And there's benefits to it. And that's why we can go ahead and do it. His intellect is darkened and therefore he doesn't understand. He's not thinking right. As we talked about this morning, your thinking gets messed up because of bad data, bad knowledge. In other words, there's a shorter word for that, lies. And so you're working on lies. Things that are not true that you have deemed to be true. And so you're calling that true, and that's your foundation, and it's a lie. So your thinking is all messed up. So your intellect doesn't work. It's dark. It's not working. A person who indulges in low vices and sins will weaken his mental powers. Sin will make you dumber. Yes, it will. It does not sharpen your mental skills. It weakens them. It's a thing that it's like a cancer, and we liken it to cancer so much because it absolutely takes over your mind, your mental assets that you have. Your mind becomes obsessed with covering your sin. Your mind is also obsessed with scheming and planning and plotting your next one. While you're covering for the one before. And the longer you go, the heavier the guilt and the more your mind is consumed with it until people lose their minds because of their sin. They can't think right on the things they need to be thinking on because of their sin. That's why you can't get nothing done now. That's why if you get any kind of a bill or any kind of a payment mixed up some way, or any kind of confusion in any paperwork anywhere, it is almost impossible to fix it. And that's why there is so much of it now. Because the people sitting at those computers and those keyboards are so full of sin, and their mind is so occupied with their sin and iniquity, they cannot think right long enough to keep their mind on their business to type in the right number, the right name, the right address. They can't remember to do things because their mind's consumed with their sin. That's why. That is why. Man, years ago when they didn't have nothing but paper and pencil, the world, this country worked much, much more efficiently. And you could fix problems. You could call on the phone and talk to a person and get it fixed. Now we talk to recordings while the people are in the back room of doing something. Or they're looking at porn on the computer at work. Yeah, or on their phone. Person who indulges in low vices, I mean carnal-based sins, he damages his intellect. He becomes dumber, just in plain English. You know, pot smokers, they have proven that. The science is there. They've shown that that is... Of course, they didn't have to do that because anybody with any sense at all and some experience of watching these people know that it makes you dumber. You can see it on their faces. You can watch it as they do anything. You can watch it in their life. You can listen to them talk. Yeah, man, yeah. They got this lethargic, lazy. They're lazy in body, lazy in mind. That's what it does to you. Yes! But we got to legalize it now and solve the problem. Well, we'll see how that works. There's all kinds of issues with it. Oh, mercy. Of course, when you got the ex-speaker of the house, what was his name? Boehner. Now, he's all into it. He's all wanting to legalize it all the way across the board. Yeah, and he's a drunk. He's a drunk. And he's also a pothead. No doubt about it. I mean, you can kind of look in his eyes and tell, too. Well, that's true. You know, guys up at the mill, that's what they said one time. They said that. They said, one of them guys walks in here, we just said, you might as well just leave. We ain't hiring nobody. When you walk in here, he said, you can see that look on their face, and we ain't hiring them. Yeah. It's about the way it is, ain't it? When they come to work up there at that mill, don't they, Mike? You can tell right away. You can see it on their face. You can tell what they are. Oh, well, I'm just illustrating the point. Same way with booze. It's the same way with people that just live in immorality like a dog. That's the way they are, too. They don't care about nothing. They don't care about nothing. They don't think about nothing. They don't care. They don't take care of their bills. They don't pay their taxes. They don't have nothing on time on their papers or anything else. They don't care. All they care about is the next episode they can have with their sin. Indulgence in vice destroys the intellect as well as the body. Such people do not appreciate any beauty of nature, any moral standard, any kind of poem or real art. Now, I'm talking about, you know, people don't appreciate real talent that are low living. That's why the entertainment is so low now. That's why there's no talent. We were somewhere the other day and we went to the club and there was a song playing and I said, man, just listen to that fabulous talent there. Just making, you know, they come up with a sentence for a song about a John Deere tractor or something and they just repeat it over and over and don't even sing on key and beat and bang and talk about their woman and, you know, and the bear. And that's entertainment. They don't appreciate somebody who can play an instrument out with outstanding ability. They don't appreciate that. They don't appreciate somebody that can really draw, paint, or reproduce or sculpt things, you know. And so they don't appreciate stuff like that because their entertainment is the low, out of the gutter. Yeah, don't take much to entertain them. It's kind of like a dog with a ball. That's all you need for a dog, just a ball. Just throw it, he'll chase it. Throw it again, he'll chase it again. Or a stick. That's all you need. Cheap. Low. That's what it does to you. That's what it does to you. Now, don't appreciate things. Acts chapter 17, verse 5. But the Jews which believe not, moved with envy. Now, this is after some preaching they heard, and they didn't like it, and they didn't believe, and they were moved with envy. And they took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company. All right, they took with them some lewd fellows of the baser sort. Now, you got anybody in mind when you hear those words? Yeah, I do. They're everywhere. They're easy to find. It's easy for them to find them back then because they're just laying around everywhere. They're the good old beer-drinking boys. They're the good old pot-smoking boys and beer-drinking boys and that just sit on the street corner and too lazy to work. Mm-hmm. They're lewd fellows of the baser sort. They sit on the bench at Walmart and Google. Hey, what am I saying?
Ogle
there. Not Google them. You don't have to do that. You can do that too. If they ever learn how to do that, maybe they'll get out of Walmart.
Yeah.
But that's what they do. And that's who's sitting there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Ain't none of you sit on them benches and watch the women go by, are you? Do you? Well, I'm telling you, y'all look like the fox in the chicken house, sort of thing. The truth. Well, and they gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. Now, they didn't believe and they wanted to stop them. And so who did they get to help them? These ignorant people who were blind, whose heart was blind, whose intellect was darkened. They got them to help them to resist righteousness and God and the Word of God and the preaching of God. And that's exactly the same people that always stir the problems in the churches. Yep. That's right. It's those same kind of people. You can describe them that way. They're the lewd fellows of the baser sort. The truth is so obvious in the pagan world. That truth that I just said, it's so obvious out there. The perverted moral sense, the blinded mind and heart, the incapacity for profound or protracted thought, where you think, you know, where you think. Think things deeper than just fleshly, carnal appetites. Think on things farther, deeper than that. How about the future? How about what's right and wrong? And how to govern ourselves. See, our founders here in this country, we were talking about it today, they were thinkers. They weren't lewd fellows of the baser sort like these lewd fellows of the baser sort of our day want you to think they were. They were not. They were intellectual men whose hearts, for the most part, were not blind. Can't say they all were. But the prevailing influence over the founding of this country absolutely was from the Word of God. There ain't no doubt about it. The record is too clear. There's too many documents. There's too many testimonies. There's too many books. And there's too much public record from all back in those years up through the 1800s. You cannot deny it. And that's why we have those things that we have, like the Constitution, that we value and that has carried us this far. Now they're wanting to trash it. So these lewd fellows of the baser sort can have their way any way they want. Do away with the law. Now where darkness reigns for a lot of years, that society degenerates back to the level of animals. And worse than the animals. In societies where sin and darkness reigns without the restraint of the influence of the gospel, there's no physical progress to improve the standard of living or living conditions. Dark Africa. Why did they call it dark? The dark continent. Because it was void of the influence of God and the gospel for centuries, for thousands of years probably. They lived in darkness. They lived in huts. They still live in huts. A lot of them do. Yeah. The Indians here in America, they lived in tents and teepees. Almost all of them did. There were a few of them didn't, but they had adobe huts and stuff like that. But their life did not progress. They never advanced nowhere. They just lived the way they had lived for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, or thousands of years, since Noah got off the ark and they got separated. Yeah. I'm trying to think of what Noah said. Blessed be Shem. Blessed be the Lord God of Shem. God shall enlarge Japheth. When the influence of the gospel came, it changed things. Everywhere it went, it changed things, didn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. The influence of God. Now, so in countries, in societies, in anything where the sin and darkness reigns for years without the influence of the gospel, there's no progress. It's dark there. They don't even think about any progress. They don't even think about making life better. They're good with just killing one another and eating meat and painting themselves up with grease and going to the next war. That's what they did. That's it. Well, we're just about to that state, ain't we? Mm-hmm. That's why a missionary to those kind of people has to start schools and create an intellect there before the gospel will make an impression on them. You can't go to a bunch of dark and savages that have never heard anything about God, and they've lived for generations and generations like that in darkness and ignorance and blindness of heart and mind. You can't go in there and tell them, Jesus loves you. Would you like to repeat after me this prayer and be baptized and be saved? That'd be very, very foolish. No missionary would do that that had a lick of sense. No, he's got to start schools and start teaching them and trying to get them to understand and get a mind and that'll work before you can even teach them about God. They usually have no written language or ability to read or any concept of such things. Degenerate human beings. You know, I know this may sound terrible in the climate we're living in, but, you know, I've read back in the 1600s, 1700s and like that, and 1500s, the Europeans did not even consider the black people in Africa human. They thought they were animals. There was a reason for that. They didn't look like humans. They didn't act like humans. If you'd read some real accounts, and you can, Google it. You can read some real accounts of ships and captains and soldiers and whatever, sailors who went to those places back in those days, and they described what they saw and what the people were doing and how they were living. And they didn't think they were human because they were so degenerate and so base and so much worse than animals act that they didn't even consider them human. That's right. They didn't believe that or not, like it or not, don't make no difference. That's the way it was. The light of the gospel has spread around the world enough till it has elevated them somewhat. Most of them, you know, they were people, but they were just so degenerate that other people that were civilized couldn't even recognize them as human beings. Now think about that a minute. That's the truth. They wore animal entrails around their necks and they stunk to high heaven. They said you couldn't get within yards of them because they smell so bad. And they were naked. All savages are naked. Yeah. Their bodies were all pierced. And and cut and modified bones in their noses and whole gauges, now they call them, in their ears and stuff hanging all over them and all kinds of mutilations that they've done to their bodies. And, you know, it's just terrible. What did that? Sin. Yeah. Those people, there was a time, but way back in their ancestry somewhere, where God was rejected. They turned away from the truth. And they were their foolish heart was darkened. And then they had children in darkness. And those children were born in darkness. And deeper darkness. Until they get to this condition they're in now, where there's... I remember John Patton talking about in the black people in the islands down there where he was at. They in the Pacific. And how he wondered if they even had a conscience. He had to really try them and seek for it and look for any spark of a conscience in them. He said he found it. That it was there. It's all messed up and distorted and unrecognizable if you wasn't looking. But yeah, they did. They did feel bad about some things. They did. Ain't that something? In spite of the fact that they're cannibals. That's savages are cannibals. They're sodomites. Yeah. They eat their wives. Women are always treated worse than animals by them. The women really have it rough when God's left out of the equation, because men are stronger than women, and men just absolutely oppress them and use them terribly. John Patton, on his island that he went to there, that's what they did. I mean, if one of the women, they all had a bunch of wives, and none of them had just one wife, they had a bunch. And if one of them crossed him in the least way, crossed her husband, they just cooked her and ate her, had a party. That's right. That's the way it is in a darkened society. When you don't want God and you want to live, that's where it goes. That's where it goes. You're reading about it a lot more in the news here, ain't you? Yeah. In what used to be civilized nation. Now we look like savages. We dress like savages. Our music is like the savages' music. Our thoughts are like the savages. Mm-hmm. Ain't far away. Well, if I was a woman, I'd be getting concerned. All right. You wonder how people can live and die without any regard to God? The answer is because their understanding is darkened. They're unmoved by any appeal to repent and turn to God. The lights just simply went out and their heart is blind. They don't see the danger. They don't feel it. They don't sense it at all. They're blind. If you're blind, you don't see. If you're blind, somebody could come up and get right in your face and you wouldn't know it because you can't see it. That's why they're not concerned about God. The lights have went out and their heart's blind. They feel nothing because their foolish heart has been darkened. There's no light there and they can't see the things of God you speak of. People usually die that way, and that's a tragic thing to happen. When we see loved ones and others walking in darkness and fellowshipping with darkness, we ought to fear and tremble for them because they're in a terrible danger. You ought to be concerned about your kids, about your wife, your husband, your brothers, your sisters, anybody that you see walking in darkness. They don't care about God. They're not moved about anything. You can't move them about God. You can't. The fear of hell, fear of God, fear of eternal punishment and judgment, they don't even have it. Things set in turn, just ignore everything. Just long for the day when they don't have to even go. You ought to be concerned. You know what you're going to see one of these days? You're going to stand there at the great white throne judgment and you're going to watch as the angels cast them off into the lake of fire. And that's it. That's the end of it right there. So you ought to be concerned now. Ought to be pleading now. Ought to be praying now. Ought to be trying to get some light in their soul now. We ought to immediately begin to petition heaven for them with a real concern and burden before their understanding becomes so dark that there's no hope. Walk in the light. That's what we ought to do. Walk in the light. If you want to stay out of the darkness, what do? You walk in the light. I don't like it dark in my house. Seemed like, you know, Granny never, she'd sit in there in the black dark. Now, why do you do this? Why do you want to sit in the house in a chair in the dark? Don't, you know, not me. I want to see things. People keep the lights turned off. I come in and crash into stuff that somebody left laying around, trip over shoes and everything else that ain't supposed to be there. Turn on the lights. If you don't want to live in the darkness, if you don't want to die in the darkness, if you don't want to be in the darkness, you better walk in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth, His Son cleanseth us from all sin. The way to enlighten the understanding is to purify the heart. Now what's the problem? Your heart's blind. Blindness of the heart through the ignorance. Well, how do you fix that? Well, the heart needs to be enlightened, and so you need to have understanding to do that. So what you got to do? Listen! Turn your ears and listen. Seek after wisdom. Seek after knowledge. Seek to understand. If you want to understand about something else, you apply yourself to it. You guys and girls that are learning to drive, what I mean, you apply yourself to that. That's something you want. Better apply yourself to God. You better start learning about God and seeking. The affections of the heart need to be changed. That's why the Word of God says this in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Then Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, verse 35 and 36, take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light. As when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. So that's the way it'll be. Now, candle, that's the brightest thing they had back then. We got LED lights now. We got real bright lights. We can light everything up as bright as we want to. But that's the way it can be in your soul. Instead of darkness, you can have light in your soul. If a person feels right toward God, he'll soon start to think right also. Set your affection on things above. Your affection. Yes. That's love. Exactly. That's a feeling that you have. Your heart. Set its affection. That's your desires. That's what it means. Set it all toward things above. Well, when you get to feeling right about God, then everything's going to change for you. You'll start thinking right when you get your heart right. Put it that way. Simple language. That's a common thing and one that we've all seen. A sinner delivered from the lowest sin and darkness of understanding who becomes a thinker and a reasonable and wise man where he was a fool. Now you see? And remember I preached on a fool here a while back and what is a fool and how to deal with a fool and all of that. And I told you then, you know, a fool is not somebody who's mentally incompetent or mentally deficient. A fool is a fool on purpose. You don't have to be a fool. The Bible said this, the way of salvation is so simple that a fool need not err therein. You know, you can take a fool, grind him in a mortar with a pestle. You can't get the foolishness out of him. But salvation can. Yeah, it can. Just a good old dose of being born again and turning from your sin. Brought into the light of God and the light of God brought into your soul. Make you somebody who thought crazy and foolish. Turn you into a real thinker. The greatest intellects who've ever lived on this earth have been people who knew God. That's fact. Now, this ain't no doubt, ain't even no argument about that. They think, what's this guy that's crippled in his wheelchair, died here a while back, Stephen Hawking? Yeah, they thought he was so brilliant. Well, he might have been a thinker, but his thinking was all messed up. He had a whole, he was working off of lies. It's nonsense. Some of the greatest minds that have ever lived have been the people of God, whose foundation was on the truth. And also some of the greatest minds that ever lived were people who were saved from low living sin, sinful lives, and brought out of the darkness into the light. And they were awakened and enlightened and made all things new. I don't think like I did before I was saved. Oh no, not at all. It's hard for me to even think about how I used to think. Did I even think? Yeah, I thought, but it was not nothing like I think now. Your mind is renewed. Your mind is washed with water by the Word. I mean, yeah. You used to tell me I was brainwashed. I said, yeah, I am. My brain's been washed. Works good now. Way better than it used to. We got to depart from the ways of darkness. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. 6:14. 2 Corinthians. But be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? If you don't want to die in the darkness, you better get out of the darkness. Separate from it. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Walk in the light. What communion hath light with darkness? They don't exist together. They can't be together. Romans 13:12. The night's far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. Cast off the works of darkness. Get away from it. Do violence to it. Get active about it. Be a soldier. Fight. Resist. Deliver yourself from it like you would the ocean if you was drowning in it and you had a way, something to get a hold of to get out of it. Get out of the darkness. Reach for the hand that's reaching for you. Get a hold of it and get out of there before you die there. Matthew chapter 6, verse 23. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Oh my, that's a whole other thing. I want to read a few verses here and then I'm going to quit. Jesus is the light. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There it is right there. You know, the way out of the darkness? There it is. The face of Jesus Christ. And you can back up the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in our hearts. See, you look to Jesus. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. I'm the light of the world, he said. And this is the condemnation that light is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light. Because their deeds are evil. Luke chapter 1 and verse 76 says this, And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadows of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Now he was talking to John the Baptist, about John the Baptist, thou child. He's going to prepare the way of the Lord. Tell everybody what's coming. The light. The light's coming. to deliver them, the ones that are in darkness, to deliver them. John chapter 1, verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, with a capital L, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. What's it going to be like for people when they face God and they've sat in a church where the light's been offered to them? The light's been shined their direction over and over and over, and they're rejecting it. What's it going to be like? What's it going to be like for somebody who people have prayed for, and people who've sacrificed for, who people have had a burden for, who people have tried to help and tried to give and instruct and rescued from the pit over and over? What's it going to be like for somebody like that when they face God and they're still lost and in the darkness? They had all this. They had John the Baptist came. Jesus came. Then Christians came bearing the light. The Holy Spirit came shining the light on them through the Word of God, and they still wouldn't have it. What's it going to be like? He's the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That's right. There's not anybody that ever lived that didn't have some light. It's how you respond to that light is what makes the difference in your life here, the quality of it, your capacity for knowing and understanding God. It all depends on how you respond to the light that's given to you. A lot of people sit in churches where they don't get a lot. They just don't get much. But God will make sure there's enough for them, for the ones who are seeking, for the ones who respond. God will make sure there's enough. I've always believed this. If there's a little black boy on the other side of the world living in the middle of a jungle far away from everybody, and if he looks up at the sky and says, God, I know you've got to be up there. If he responds to the light that the creation bears witness of, I believe God would send a missionary from the other side of the world just for him. I believe he would. Jesus went across the sea for one soul. And it wouldn't be nothing for God to send one of his that was willing and ready to go take the gospel to somebody like that. I've heard so many stories. I've heard them personally from missionaries that I know who went to a field like that. And when they got to questioning and talking after some time there and got to knowing the people and everything, there was somebody there praying and seeking while they were at home working their job and thinking about, what does God want me to do? And when God spoke to them, and they figured out, and that's when they were praying. And yeah, I believe that's the way it works. It's how you respond to the light. And this is the condemnation. John chapter 3, it's the verse I quoted a while ago. That light has come into the world. That's the condemnation. That light's come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, that his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So light attracts people who want to do right. People who want to do evil, the light repels them just like cockroaches or rats when you turn a light on in the dark. They run and hide. John chapter 8, I'm about done here. Verse 12. Then spoke Jesus again unto him, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. They called him a liar. I mean, Jesus just simply said, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus said the same thing that I say a lot of times to you. You know, God, you're going to live right. What Jesus was saying right there basically is there ain't no such a thing as a sinning religion. You know God, you're going to walk right, you're going to do right. And they said, you're a liar. Well, that's the way it was with the Son of God. Why should we expect it to be any different now in this wicked world we live in? John chapter 12, verse 46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. You don't live in darkness anymore because Jesus has come into the world. He's the light that's come into this darkness. Yes, sir. I don't like darkness. I want light. I want my heart to understand. I don't want my heart to be darkened. It grieves me to think about people whose heart never tastes of anything but what this wicked, sewage-filled world feeds them. They never know anything but the aroma of a septic tank, really. And they delight in that. And they won't come out of it long enough to see if there's anything better. They won't even look for the light. They won't even look in that direction. They won't consider it because they're so involved in their darkness. Because their deeds are evil and they love the darkness. They want to hide. They don't want to come out in the open where everybody can see. He that cometh to the light, the righteous comes to the light. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. He's not ashamed. He wants everybody to see, to know him, to know what he's doing. But those that hide and sneak around, they're in darkness. Don't stay in darkness. Amen. This is what happens. Let me read the verse we started with again. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now that's the only two courses you got. Come to the light, or flee to the darkness and hide. Come to the light. Let's stand. When you're walking in the light, you can go to bed at night and your conscience don't bother you. When you're walking in the light, you can face death with courage and confidence, knowing that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And you're willing, yeah, to do that. That's a good way to live. When you're in darkness, you fear death. Yeah, you do. There's a dread and a darkness about it that you don't, that is very unpleasant to you and you don't want to face and you don't want to think about. Living in the light, that's the only way to go. Walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship one with another, us with Him and us with one another. It's the way to live. Can't imagine living without God. Can't imagine being in the darkness. Got loved ones that are in the darkness right now. I wonder, how do they do it? You can see on their face, not happy. You can see on their face that life's rough. That they're full of dread and fear and concern and don't know what's going to happen. But you know how they deal with it? Just get drunk again. Just get high again. Just go do something to get their mind off of it again. Just pretend it's not there. But it always keeps catching up. Amen. Bow with me and we'll have a word of prayer. Sure wished you'd come to the light. Lord, thank you for the word of God. Pray you bless it to our hearts and minds. I pray everybody here would consider what we've said and what we've talked about tonight. Consider these scriptures we've read. And the understanding that you've given us here about this matter. Lord, as we go out of here, pray we'd stay in the light. Stay out of that darkness. The world is full of darkness. It's the kingdom of darkness. There's no light there. They don't understand. And they spread their darkness. They want to extinguish the light. Lord, help us not to let them do that in our lives. Lord, guide and direct us and help us to walk in the light, and to separate from the darkness, to cast off the works of darkness, to flee the darkness. Lord, I pray you'd give the understanding to everybody here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.